because there is a most beautiful, 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 beautiful verse in John 17. Listen to this. This is Jesus praying. He's praying to His Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says this, "I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves." He's praying for His disciples and those that would believe, that Jesus' joy would be fulfilled in us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I always thought joy was just being happy. But there's a joy, it says in 1 Peter, that's unspeakable and full of glory. I got to tell you, that joy is available today. It's available to you today. God's kingdom does not consist of depression and misery and fear, but of joy and peace and strength, righteousness, love. All these things God has for us without measure. He wants to give us this. He doesn't want God's, His own children, to be miserable. He wants us to know that in enduring suffering and affliction, there should be a joy. You know, I didn't really understand that verse until this morning, and I thought, it was up in my head. I got to explain to you what I mean by that. There's a lot of things we can say and talk about. Like we can quote John 3:16, but until it becomes real to you, it's words. We say the Serenity Prayer where I'm at work opening every single class. The Serenity Prayer that they say is, "God, grant me the courage to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And I asked one person one time this week, I said, "Do you actually pray that prayer? Do you say that prayer?" And he said, "Well, I say it every time." And I said, "But do you pray it?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Is it in your heart that you can't change anything out there? The only thing you can change is yourself and what you think and what you believe. That's all you can control. Nothing else can you change. You can't change your neighbor, your spouse, your friend, your children, the world, the neighborhood. You can only change how you believe and how you respond." When that gets inside you, you start to change. Because now all of a sudden you begin to accept those things around you that you cannot do anything about. But when you get joy, when you get true joy, and God begins to infiltrate you with His joy, you look at the problem, you go, "Look at that! Look at that mess God gets to clean up! This is a prime place for a miracle! I'm ready, God!" And you start believing that God's going to act and connect at any given moment in time. And you get happy about it because, not because it's good, but because God is bigger. I'll tell you, this morning I was praying about something that was troubling me, and I said, "Lord, I just don't have any peace, don't have any joy." And you know what He said? Didn't say anything, but why don't you ask for it? Here I was saying, "Lord, change this, change that, and then I'll have joy." He says, "Just ask for joy." Do you remember Peter getting out of the boat, walking on the water? Right? He was walking on the water, held on to Jesus, who's standing there walking on the water. And guess what? As afraid as he was of the wind and the waves, they were still with him and big and strong. But he was no longer afraid because Jesus was there holding his hand, and the situation had not changed except he knew Jesus was there. Right? And when Jesus is there, you know things cannot defeat you. And you know you got someone on your side who, if God is for you, nobody can be against you. Right? Amen? If God is for you, who can be against you? And you see all these things which were scaring you and giving you worry and frustration and maybe anxiety. And then all of a sudden you say, "God, You're bigger than that." And you begin to see God's joy. And you say, "God, I have peace." I tell you, I love that verse in Peter, man. I'll tell you. That man, if it doesn't get you going, it ought to. Maybe y'all can tell I'm a little excited about this. I don't know, but you might. It says, talking about Jesus, whom you've not seen, you love Him, and in whom Though now you see him not, yet you believe, and you rejoice. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory because Jesus is who you love. I've got to tell you, Jesus can do anything at any moment, at any time. There is no desperate situation. I was praying this morning and said, God, how come you're not acting? He says, because I don't want you to think I'm early. And I said, God, but you might be late. He said, I've never been late. I know how to be on time, not like you. I said, wait a minute, God. I said, God, are you sure you're never late? He said, I know what I'm doing. You can trust me. Can you trust God? Yes. Scripture says we can stand on the promises fulfilled in Christ. Yes, 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 we can. Do we? Well, on paper, we might. Well, I trust the Lord, but then all of a sudden we make all these provisions for if God doesn't work things out. If we trust God and truly believe in faith that God is doing the right thing for us at the right time and in the right place, you don't have to worry. Jesus told those folks in the Sermon on the Mount, you see the grass and the flowers and the birds. God takes care of them and they don't worry. But we worry about those things that they worry about. God kind of challenged me on that this morning. I said, Lord, you know, that's something that I don't worry about anymore, but I sometimes do. It's a sign in your life, if God is not first and foremost, if things begin to be bigger than what they really are. Do you know what our job is? Is to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Why? Because stuff down here stays here. It doesn't go with you into the kingdom. What you take in the kingdom is what God gives you. Joy, peace, love, fellowship with the saints. That's stuff you can't leave here, but you take with you. But we worry about, well, what if I die? What if I don't get something to eat? Then you get to be with Jesus. There's no downside to that. But God, what if this storm comes in and takes all I got and me? Great, you're with Jesus. What about my family? Well, God says, do you trust me to take care of them? Where does our trust in Jesus end? That's where the joy stops. But He says He's faithful. Now I've got to share with you that joy in the Holy Ghost is something that we sometimes overlook. And Jesus begins to teach us about that kind of joy. In John 15, He's talking about keeping the commandments, and He says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If the commandments are kept by us, if we're faithful to God and do so out of love, right? That's joy. I don't know about you, but I would never want to be in a relationship with somebody I didn't want to do things for. Do you think Al does anything for you, Genevieve? Does he?
All the time.
All the time. Is it because he has to?
Yep.
Yeah, Evelyn, does Shorty ever do anything for you?
Occasionally.
Occasionally? Do you think it's because he's frustrated or because he wants to?
How'd that get out
of here? There you go. I wonder if God has to do the same thing. I don't know. Bill, do you like doing things for Jane? Yeah?
But you haven't been married for a while, haven't you?
No, I haven't. JB, you like doing things for Doris now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, all right, of course you do.
You don't do much, though.
saying is, there is no law that says you have to do this. Don't you do it because love is present in the relationship? It doesn't say in the great book, thou shalt doest honeydews all the time. It says in the book that you love your wife and you treat her like you would your own body. And you give yourself for your wife like Christ did for the church. And it sounds, let me tell you, when I was married, that sounded like a bad command. Because I had a bad relationship when I was married. It was terrible. But I still did it begrudgingly because I was commanded to. It wasn't something I enjoyed doing. But could you imagine a joyous relationship where you say, I can't wait to get up in the morning and give good gifts to the one I love. Jesus talked about the scribes and Pharisees. He says, a true person in the kingdom of God is someone who opens up the treasures of God's kingdom and pours out the gift, showing all the new mysteries and something new, telling the joy and wonders. You ever seen that verse? It says that the true minister of God's word, if he's a true scribe or Pharisee, he opens up the treasure box and is excited to share with you about God. Not about himself. So when you come to the one you love, you say, I love this about you. I love doing this for you. I love you because I love this, I love that. Not, hey, you know, this is why you should love me. I'm so good because I do this for you. It's not about that. It's about God putting a joy in you for God, for His kingdom. It says, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate that I get the privilege to be numbered with His people and I get to help others in that kingdom. And I get joy from that because it means they get the same thing I'm getting and there's more to go around. If I'm worried about His kingdom and His righteousness, I'm not worried about my lot. God's taking care of me and that gives me joy because He's doing it better than I could anyway. Isn't that a good thing? And the joy in the Holy Ghost says that this works this way. This works and there is no other way for it to work. And Jesus doesn't stop at John 15. He begins to talk about us in chapter 16. And this is about the joy. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. This is when Jesus is talking about His death. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Why? Because when a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Very painful. But as soon as she is delivered to the child, she remembers no longer the anguish she went through, but for joy that a man is born into the world. I don't have the privilege of experiencing that. But the joy there. And He says, now therefore you have sorrow because I'm leaving, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. When you know that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, that God can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, when you believe that Christ is the foundation, the root of every single fiber of every day and moment of your life, that God is running it, and you don't have to, and you can give it to Him, that is a joy no one can take from you because you know that you know that you know. You can kneel with Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. That's a joy. The man was miserable. You look through Scriptures and all the things Thomas said, he's questioning and questioning. If I don't see, if I don't touch, if I don't thrust my hands into the side of Christ, I cannot believe. And Jesus says, stop doubting, Thomas. Get some joy when you believe. I'm telling you, when you believe, joy comes as a byproduct. It's a good thing. God has it for you today. I'm going to share with you how you can get it. As if you don't know yet. I already told you how, but I'm going to tell you again. Because you might not have heard it. I'll tell you, it's so good because not only that, there's another promise after that same section, right? The next verse says, in that day, when you have joy, when your joy, you realize, is based on Christ Jesus, And that's unfaith, a faith that is unwavering, unshakable. It says this, "And in that day, when you know that you know, you shall ask me nothing." You no longer have to ask him if he's the Christ or the Lord. You know. That's what I mean by you know that you know. He says, "Verily, verily," or it is certain, "I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you." You ask out of joy. You ask out of celebration, and God will increase your joy. That's good. When you experience the joy of knowing that God is real, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that you are protected and safe in His hands, that no one can take the joy that God gives, that's how you know it's real, is that it stays. Because it's based on what God has done for you. And God did not undo the cross. So this morning I'm going to ask you to ask for that joy. To ask for that unwavering, undoubting belief that says, "I know that I know. And God is going to redeem me and deliver me." This morning, I was really, really depressed because I thought that God was moving in my life in ways I couldn't comprehend. I've been praying for an answer to a prayer of joy and wasn't getting it. And finally said, "Just ask for it." So this morning I said, "Lord, I want that joy that's in Jesus." Within seconds, there came this beautiful peace. And there it was. He said it was there all along. You just didn't know it. It's your joy. And he gave me 8:1. Romans 8:1. "You now have no condemnation. Rejoice because nothing can come against you." That's joy. Joy. Nothing can come against me. Nothing can defeat me. I have joy. No matter what this world throws at me, God will deliver. That excites me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the joy. Thank you that you've given us the privilege to be counted with the saints, no matter what. We were at one time not. We were the ain'ts, but now we are the saints, and your saints have all the privileges of your kingdom, Lord. So pour out your Spirit now and bring the joy, if out measure, completely, totally upon us. Ask you that, Lord, that when we go from this place, we'd be shouting your joy. Your praises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.